Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is up, Nets world? We're back here on the Believe in Nets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Eric Slater, Brooklyn Nets beat reporter for ClutchPoints.com. Big thanks to all of you for listening. If you don't already, subscribe to Believe in Nets on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, be sure to check out my YouTube channel, at Eric Slater NBA, where I'll be posting all these podcasts, as well as film breakdowns, interview clips, other content on the Nets. But the offseason is upon us, and we are here to talk about the Brooklyn Nets, and we are here more specifically to talk about Donovan Mitchell, the Cleveland Cavaliers star who has been linked to the Nets at various points over the last year and a half now. The Cavaliers were eliminated in the second round in five games by the Boston Celtics. And before they were even out, the reports are starting to come that multiple teams have their offers ready for Mitchell. The Nets are firmly in that mix. I just finished recording with Hoops Hype's Michael Scotto, who joined the pod to break down Mitchell's situation in Cleveland. How likely is it that he's actually traded this summer? Will he sign an extension? How the Cavs can play all that? We obviously broke down the Nets, where they rank in terms of trade destinations, what they have to offer, how invested are they in this Mitchell pursuit? And if they are to strike out, where does that leave them? Where can they pivot? Where do they go in terms of timeline? We broke down all the angles of it. Really hope you guys enjoy the interview after the theme music. And I'm joined now by Hoops Hype's Michael Scotto, and we are here to talk about the Brooklyn Nets offseason. And if you've been following the Brooklyn Nets and we're talking about the offseason, you know, an episode is going to center on one Donovan Mitchell, because the NBA rumor cycle had wasted no time even prior to the Cavs elimination. ESPN's Brian Windhorst comes out before the Cavs are even out, says that several NBA teams have offers ready for Mitchell if he is to leave Cleveland. He also even went as far as saying three teams would be at the top of the list of trade destinations if Mitchell is to ask out or if he is not to extend with them. It was the Nets, Los Angeles Lakers, and Miami Heat. Scotto, what's your reaction just when you saw that report and the timing of it with the Cavs, you know, on the brink of elimination?
I mean, the vultures are out, you know. It's to me, Eric, I'm very much an Occam's razor kind of guy. I try to cut through the nonsense, and the reality of this situation is the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to offer Donovan Mitchell a max contract extension. He's either going to take it or he's not. And so I would say that, you know, the number of years, maybe that could fluctuate, you know, depending on what his goals are. But if he doesn't take it, he can opt out after next year, and that would make him an unrestricted free agent. And if you're Cleveland, are you prepared to risk losing him for nothing? Or do you move him going into next season? Because you'll know by then if he's going to take the extension or not. You could, if you wanted, wait till the deadline, but I don't know. I don't see that. And then I think the other piece to this is the report about Darius Garland not wanting to be there if Donovan Mitchell's there. So if that's the case, one way or another, there's going to be a big decision in Cleveland, seemingly, even though Garland's under contract for a while. I'm not sure, you know, leverage-wise, how that would work. But it's all centered around Donovan Mitchell, certainly. And, you know, I think once he got hurt, they really had no shot the last couple of games against Boston. Lord knows the last game after the team was out. But they did win a game. I think that surprised some people, you know. And Cleveland's goal this whole time was to have a core four of Mitchell, Garland, Mobley, and Allen. We saw it. This year they were hurt for a lot of the year at different points, all those guys. So, you know, I think it could have been better if they were healthy, but you know, that wasn't how the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, changes are coming in Cleveland. You know, it seems like you said, the team has been centered around the backcourt duo of, you know, Mitchell and Garland, and then this frontcourt duo of Mobley and Allen. And it seems like both of those are on the verge of a breakup. Likely, you know, Mobley with Allen out showcasing that he's best at center. Looks like Allen's going to be moved. And then they have this, you know, incoming, this perpetuated question about Mitchell. And it all comes down to this extension. That's what it's all about. All the reasons, yep, you know, that these rumors continue to swirl, it's because Mitchell has not signed the extension yet. And it's not for lack of the Cavs putting it out there that it's been offered. You know, it's been offered at several points. Dan Gilbert even went as far, the Cavs owner, as saying that they're confident during the season that he's going to extend. Mitchell was asked about it, turned it down. And, you know, if he continues to say no to an extension this summer, he puts Cleveland in a really difficult spot where they likely have to trade him. Because if you go into the next season, you know, and you roll the dice, and like you said, he leaves in free agency next summer, it's a disaster of epic proportions in a situation that I just couldn't even see them getting it to that. So, you know, but do you see any circumstance where Mitchell, you know, is on the Cavs roster at the start of next season without an extension signed?
Anything's possible, but I think that would be a tough line in the sand to draw if you're Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're talking about a guy like Mitchell, he's an interesting, you know, NBA star when you talk about him in the trade mix, because he's a guy who seemed like, dating back to his Utah days, that he's kind of always been aware of his reputation. We see a lot of stars, you know, Kevin Durant, whoever else you want to name, that will ask out of this, that, and the other, continue the cycle. But he's a guy who didn't publicly ask out at any point in Utah, although it was kind of accepted that he, you know, wanted to go elsewhere. But he didn't do that. He responded, I saw, to, I think it was a report from Chris Fetter of Cleveland.com, who said
that
he was, you know, unhappy with his teammates, you know, at certain points during the year. And he responded to on Twitter and said, you know, cap. So he didn't want that out there. And, you know, if he does move on and if he doesn't sign that extension and the Cavs are to trade him, as Windhorst said, the Nets are going to be firmly in the mix. But, you know, what has been your read on that situation in Cleveland? I know you touched on it briefly there. Have you heard anything? You know, all these, you know, the NBA season ends and all these fluctuating reports come out about what was going on. Have you heard anything about the dynamic there in Cleveland, whether it pertains to J.B. Bickerstaff and the coaching situation or the dynamic between the players or anything along those lines?
Well, I think you hit the head. You know, first off, you start with J.B. Bickerstaff, who, you know, I look at the job he did this year and I say to myself, they missed so many guys at different points of the year. He kept them afloat. They won the first round series. They win a game in Boston when not a lot of people thought that. I think some of that, his job security, would come down eventually to, does Donovan Mitchell want to play for him down the line? I think that's a factor that truthfully needs to be addressed and probably is behind the scenes right now. You know, as far as Donovan and all the potential trade teams, I mean, look, there's obviously a plethora of teams. Some of them out there, obviously the Brooklyn Nets, which we'll get into, but you've got the Lakers, who are always star hunting. The Heat, also similarly star hunting. The Rockets, who are looking to take the next step and be a playoff team next year. Went after Mikal Bridges, as I reported at the deadline. And, you know, with the Pelicans as well, I think is interesting in the sense that, you know, I had touched on a podcast with Will Guillory about them looking for potentially Darius Garland, in a sense that, you know, they've got to look at shaking up that roster around Zion Williamson, who they're clearly building around. Ingram's in the final year of his deal. They don't want to go to a max contract for him. So would a guy like Garland be an option worthwhile for them? For Cleveland, would it make sense? Because they needed three, ironically, since they traded Lauri Markkanen and the Donovan Mitchell trade. So you've got all these different factors coming into play here. You know, but for the Nets, certainly Donovan Mitchell has been a primary target for a while and will continue to be going into the summer. They'll certainly monitor those conversations with the Cleveland Cavaliers and whether Donovan Mitchell is going to become available or not.
Yeah, and just before we get into the Nets and whether this is a good move for them, how the machinations of all could work out, just rounding out the question of, is Mitchell going to be on the trade block this summer? You know, when you're talking about him and his potential extension and all the things along those lines, like, the amount of money is a big factor in that, because NBA, you know, the NBA has, you know, structured a lot of these things to incentivize players to stay with teams that they're on, stay in small markets. So as far as I can understand, he's eligible to sign a 4-year, I think $200 million extension right now, you know, with Cleveland. If he's traded, he can sign that with the team he's traded with. But if he is to wait until free agency next year, I think he's eligible for four for 260 or 270. He has an incentive, you know, financially to stay with Cleveland if he wants to maximize his money. But, you know, it's to be determined how he wants to, and, you know, how he wants to go about that. And talking about him as, you know, how his past unraveled, he's a New York guy. It's been well documented that he has interest in coming back to play for New York. When Utah had him on the trade block, I feel like most people assumed that he was going to, you know, the Knicks. That was the place that was a rumored destination. The Knicks were kind of playing hardball. And then the Cavaliers swoop in. The Knicks might not have thought there was another team. They swoop in. They get him kind of for, it seems like, somewhat of a rental, you know, an experiment to see where could they go with him in that 2 to 3 year window. And that window is, you know, starting to close right now. But, you know, he's a guy that has had interest coming to play with New York. I read in the Athletic, I think it was Tony Jones years back when, you know, when he was on the trade block with Utah, that teams on his preferred destinations, they said the Knicks, the Nets, and the Heat, I'm pretty sure, were the three teams that he had on there. So now talking about the way that this could play out, you know, the Nets are going to be in the mix if he's available. As Windhorst said, Lakers, Nets, Heat are the teams he put at the top of the list. And talking about, is this a smart plan for the Nets to go in, you know, take this huge swing on a guy like Mitchell? You know, everybody's been talking about, after this, the misery that this Nets season was, the two paths that they can go, you know, go all in on a guy like Mitchell to pair with Bridges, open up like a 4-ish year window where they could trade Bridges and their veterans and reset with a boatload of picks. So, you know, looking at where could the Nets go after a Mitchell trade like this, you know, a lot of people say, like, they make the Mitchell trade, where does that leave them? Like, they're still going to be probably, you know, a first round exit team at best. But with the Nets, they're looking at 2025, all of that cap space they have. It's a really deep free agent class. Hoopsype actually did a good piece on it. I forgot who wrote it, but it was in March, I think. They wrote the top free agents for 2025, went like 50 deep. But if you're talking about just like high-level guys that potentially you could see hitting the market, you got guys like Derek White, Naz Reid, Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Alex Caruso. Like, these aren't the stars, but they're guys based on their team situation that you could see hitting the markets. So then, you know, if you trade for Mitchell, you got Mitchell, Bridges, Claxton. Say you can bring in a couple of those guys with cap space, Clowney, you know, ETC. You'll have a pretty good idea of what the team could look like. And it's not a bad team, but, you know, looking at those two paths, and this is something that we've, as following the Nets, have had a lot of time to sit on, you know, how do you view this move? You know, we'll talk about the price right after this, but how do you view this move in terms of just, is it logical and is it a good process for them? Or do you view it more the other way, where resetting, trading Bridges and things along those lines is the better path for them?
Well, I think this is what I would say for the Nets. If you were going to trade Mikhail, you could have done that previously. They've shown no inclination to do that to this point. I think they've had pretty good offers. And their stance has been, this is more of a retool than a rebuild. So along those lines, I think getting Donovan Mitchell, an all-NBA guy, certainly moves the needle. But what's interesting here is that would obviously be counterintuitive to a guy like Cam Thomas, who really broke out last year, and a guy that, you know, if the Nets were going to get Donovan Mitchell, you'd have to imagine he'd be in the trade. Is it worth it to go?
Even if he wasn't, you'd think he'd be on the move anyway, because that those two has a terrible backcourt.
So is it worth it to pay double probably the money for Donovan Mitchell than Cam Thomas, who showed you he can be a clear 20-plus point-a-game scorer? He's got to round out other parts of his game. Mitchell draws more attention. I mean, look, Mitchell's the better player overall. But How are you going to allocate your funds? The Nets have made Nicholas Claxton the primary point of emphasis this summer when it comes to free agency. They want to retain him. They're willing to spend to keep him. So to me, I right now, Donovan Mitchell, if you got Donovan Mitchell, it's a big stepping stone. But it's not the be-all, end-all. If you rebuilt, you don't have your own picks, which is the problem. But those Phoenix picks are valuable. Those Phoenix picks could be very valuable. And a lot of people around the league are starting to look at those picks and having more value. So, you know, I think, Eric, when they brought in Jordy Fernandez, it's a dual-edged sword in the sense that they've put a lot of emphasis on player development. They brought in other coaches to help with that and the way they've reshaped their staff. And I think they're prepared for both directions. I don't think Donovan Mitchell, all the eggs are in that basket. I think there's certainly an Easter worth of eggs, you know. Maybe they're painting them, but it's not the be-all, end-all. They have other contingency plans, but certainly, like, you know, Donovan's been at the top of their radar for a while.
Well, that's – it's interesting because I had something in my notes down the line in this podcast where I said it seems like – it does seem like to me like a lot of their eggs are in the Mitchell basket. So that's something that, you know, let's talk about now and I want to unpack because – you know, if we'll talk about the price for Mitchell and all that, I had that coming up next, but we'll get into that in a little bit. If, you know, they are to, if the price gets too high or Mitchell doesn't leave Cleveland and they aren't able to facilitate that deal, they're likely running it back with either the same team next season or they could make a lateral move. And we'll get into what those moves could be. But, you know, it's tough for me to envision a scenario where they're running it back next season with mostly the same roster after how poorly this past season went. So, you know, if they are,
I mean,
all right, you disagree.
Not to cut you off, bro, but like the reality is if you can get for Donovan, you swing for that. But otherwise, if it's not going to be Donovan now, the reset was for 2025 anyway. So that meaning after next year, that's when Ben Simmons is off the books and they've got a little bit more financial flexibility to do some things. So I do think you got to keep that in mind when you're looking at their, you know, I don't know if patience is a virtue, but they say it is. So.
Yeah, but the question that I had in there is, you know, to me, it seemed like the viable route that I just, you know, explained for everybody is trade for Mitchell. And then you got that cap space in 2025 to add to that Mitchell Bridges core. If they strike out on Mitchell and we get to 2025, they're sitting on their hands for this next season, which is probably, if they're running it back with the same roster, going to be another really rough season just for this 2025 mystery guy. I mean, I think we have an idea of some of the guys who could be available, but you're talking about the cap space they have, you know, stars aren't hitting free agency as often anymore. I mean, you just said it before, get the bag, you know, now figure it out later. Guys can ask out. I mean, if we're looking at 2025, the guy that seems like he could be on the verge of moving might be Giannis in Milwaukee because that's an aging core. They don't have a lot of flexibility, but like you're talking about like patience, their patience or whatever, but if they strike out on Mitchell and we get to 2025, like, are they, you think they're just waiting to see if something falls into their lap, or is there like a contingent? I mean, I know you're not them, but I don't see how that's, you know, that's just a tough sell to the fan base, in my opinion.
No, I hear you, but I don't, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you probably have to trade for anyway. Like there's so many different layers to this conversation, and I'll be honest with you, I never go that far into like a year in advance because so much changes during the next like couple of months, let alone in free agency now and the trade market now.
Yeah.
My head would like explode. You're lucky, well, you know, some people, let me tell you something, Eric, there's some people in the NBA that I think if you ask them what they're having for dinner, they'd be like, I don't know. I got to figure it out. So if you want to wait for a year later, it'll be a little tough. Then
maybe that's why my head's almost exploding, because I'm spending my days trying to look into the future of the machinations of how all this stuff can work.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
But, you know, along the lines of that same conversation, all right, so like, let's not talk about next summer. Let's talk about this summer. I mean, if they are to strike out on, you know, if they are to strike out on Mitchell, or he just stays, you know, you talked about them having other contingency plans potentially, you know, but you also said that, and we also have all known that they've shown no willingness to move on from Mikal Bridges. So, right. You know, is, you know, this summer, if they strike out on that, you could see them, you know, running it back with this similar core next season and waiting it out all the way till 2025, or could a guy like Bridges, who you reported extensively on the Houston offers at the trade deadline, could something like that, you think, still be on the table? And would it be something that the Nets could consider to reset if Mitchell, you know, doesn't come to fruition?
Boy, I tell you, if, you know, they got to trade, if they have to, you know, reconsider moving Bridges at this point, it would be difficult because, again, could have moved them way earlier on, but hindsight's 20/20. I don't know if I see them going for, like, I don't know if I see them going for Trae Young. I'm not inclined to believe that. You know, like, Darius Garland's a little younger, maybe. It's hard because, like, definitively, it's pretty clear Donovan Mitchell's the guy. There's other stars, and, like, you know, I wonder if, like, they would make a run at Ingram, truthfully, with the Pelicans.
I don't like the Ingram fit with the Nets. I just don't see where that's bringing.
But here's the thing: you got to look at the guys that are potentially available. He's a guy that could be, and so I think that you've really got to at least consider it, because you could put him at a small ball four. Depends how they want to build out the roster. So
it's just like that. Those just seem like lateral moves to me. When you talk about Ingram, you talk about Trae Young, you talk about Darius Garland, it's like you're unloading assets, much less assets than for a guy like Mitchell. But you're unloading those, and then I'm not sure where that's getting you. And you're kind of just, you know, plodding along here. Whereas, you know, it seems to me like there's a lot invested in a lot of Easter eggs, as we said, in that Mitchell basket, because if he's, you know, if they strike out on him, I just don't see where the roster is going. And, you know, at that point, the question has to be, you know, would they pivot and would they move a guy like Mikal Bridges and reset it? And, you know, I just saw Bridges just bought a really nice apartment in Brooklyn. Like, I don't know.
That's what real estate agents are for, my friend. Don't mean anything. You know, Kenny Atkinson had a nice house in Brooklyn too. Yeah. You know, there you go. A lot of people do.
Do you envision, you know, you had some intel on that Houston thing. Do you think, obviously, they're still going to be looking to improve. Do you think that their offer for Bridges could still be on the table this summer? And if you do you think that it would change, you know, much based on it being the next transaction?
Say that again. I had a text message. Just had a
look. Yeah, I'd say you had good intel. You were the intel guy on the Houston, you know, stuff at the trade deadline with their offer for Bridges. You know, if the Nets were to strike out on Mitchell, you know, do you think that Houston offer for Bridges could still be on the table this summer, or do you think it would change a lot based on it being the next transaction cycle?
Well, I mean, this is what I would say. I think certainly Houston would move the third overall pick in this draft. Mm-hmm. I think that would still be there.
The 2025 pick.
Jalen Green played better. Mm-hmm. But I still think if you can get Bridges for the money he's on, you'd have to look at it. And I'm not sure if they're fully sold on Jalen Green as that guy yet. Mm-hmm. And you got to pick between, you know, paying him, you got to pay Şengün. What are you going to do there? I think it would be certainly still on the table. Do I think it would improve? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Not at this point, because you're getting him for less time. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at there. But again, I certainly think there will be other teams that call on Mikal Bridges. Like, it's not, you'd be foolish to not do your due diligence, depending on what happens with the situation in Cleveland.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I've said it probably three times, but I'll say it again. It's looking to me, or at least from my, when I build this out logically in my head, it seems like a move for Mitchell. And if you don't get Mitchell this summer, you know, I think the Nets would have to look at a pivot. Will they look at a pivot, and will they come to that same conclusion? I can't
say.
Tough
to swallow. That would be tough to swallow, brother.
That's how I see it though. But let's talk a little bit now about the price for Mitchell and, you know, how that could all play out. Because as I said, you know, Wendy said the Nets, Heat, Lakers, he put as those three teams. You mentioned the Rockets, obviously. The Pelicans could be another team who's involved. But, you know, focusing first on those three teams that Windhorst named, if you look at what they have to offer, the Lakers, you know, the Nets are going to beat out the Lakers and Heat in the picks department. The Lakers and Heat, I think, will beat the Nets out in terms of the young player department. If you're looking at what the Lakers have to offer, they have three tradable first-round picks. I think Austin Reeves would be the big name, you know, headlining the package. The Heat have two tradable first-round picks, and they have guys like Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez, Nikola Jovic. Now, the Nets have seven tradable first-round picks, including those Phoenix picks, which, you said, like you said, are going to be highly valued. And then in terms of players, they have guys like Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas, Dorian Finney-Smith. You know, so when you're talking about those three teams, you know, I think it's safe to say that if they were to get into a bidding war, the Nets have the ammo to win that bidding war. But also an important factor in this is with 1 year left on his contract, Mitchell will have leverage to direct the trade, you know, if he chooses to do so. If he says, I'm only re-signing with blank, then that team's going to have, you know, all the leverage in negotiations. But like I said before, he's a guy that's been aware of his reputation, didn't ask out of Utah, you know, responded to that Fetter report on Twitter. You know, would he make a one-team list and ultimately hurt Cleveland's leverage a lot? Like, that remains to be seen. But
I don't know if that's hurting. Here's the thing. I don't know if it's hurting. Well, all right, would it hurt their leverage? Yes. But, like, the reality of the situation
they're still going to get a haul, regardless.
Yeah, but the reality of the situation is he'd have the leverage. So, it's Alcum's razor. You cut through the BS. And if he doesn't, like, let's just say, for example, the Thunder, right, wanted to make a move for him. And the Thunder have the most picks out of anybody, okay? Yeah. Let's just say they wanted to make a move for him. Well, if Donovan Mitchell doesn't want to go there, you think they're doing this for a one-year rental? Probably not. So, of that list that you mentioned, if Donovan doesn't want to be there long-term, I don't see those teams giving up a lot of assets. Donovan, on his own, could dilute the market. But it's not about, you know, him doing wrong by the Cavaliers. It's more just about honesty and conversation, because that would get weeded out anyway by the teams. The teams aren't going to trade for him if they know he doesn't want to be there long term. It'd be foolish.
Yeah. I mean, basically what I'm saying is, how many teams is he open to being with long term? Like, if we're focusing, let's say he wants to be in a big market and we're focusing on teams like the Nets, Lakers, and Heat, the three teams that Windhorst mentioned, is he, you know, does he have one team there where he says, I'm going to want to go to this team and I'm only going to want to go to this team? Because while Cleveland's, they're going to get a haul regardless. But
I don't think it would be one team.
That's what I'm saying. If he says,
I don't think it would be one demanding trade to one team. Like, I don't think this is like years ago when Carmelo Anthony wanted to go to the Knicks. I don't think that's what this is.
or even like we just saw with Dame in Miami, the difference being, you know, Portland could tell Dame to go scratch and send him to Milwaukee because he had 4 years left on his upcoming contract, basically. But
who knows? Mitchell, maybe Miami will circle back around on Damian Lillard too.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. But with 1 year left on you got something on that?
One shock.
Getting him back.
Wouldn't shock me. Miami's got to look to get a star, man. Like, they're always in these conversations.
Yeah, that's. I mean, the Mitchell.
Not saying they're getting him, but to say they're not going to be in a conversation, I think you got to do your due diligence. There's so many trade talks that happen behind the scenes that like don't get reported. Like even the time that the Lakers and the Warriors talks with LeBron and pairing LeBron and Curry, mm-hmm. I guarantee you all those calls happen all the time. They just don't get out all the time.
Yeah. So just talking about Mitchell, like you said, you don't think it would be a one team list, but let's say that he wants to be in a big market and he's thinking about say, LA with the Lakers, New York with Brooklyn, Miami with the Heat, if he's not making a one team list and he's open to all three of those and all three teams, really want him. What does that mean? We're getting into a bidding war. And then the question for the Nets is, how high are the Nets going to go? So, if we're going to talk about potential offers, for the Nets, like it's pretty clear what the outline or structure of the offer would be. Like I said it before, like there you have Cam Johnson, who's going to be like the main salary filler, it would seem like. And then you got like Dorian Finney-Smith and Dennis Schroeder are mid-sized contracts. You'd think Finney-Smith probably would be the guy in there. And then you have Cam Thomas, really exciting young prospect, even Noah Clowney, another really exciting young prospect. So, like, the formula for it would seem like it would be Cam Johnson, bulk of the salary, probably a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith, and then, like, a Cam Thomas or a Noah Clowney. And then you're talking three or four first-round picks. So that's a lot to give up for a guy like Mitchell. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't do it. But if we get, the Lakers coming in and the Lakers are offering all their picks and Austin Reeves, and you get the Heat coming in and they're offering, they only have two picks, so that's tough.
But then they got guys would have like the best package. I think the Nets would have the best package. But out of those teams, out of the teams you listed, but I also think you got to ask yourself, what is Cleveland, in a theoretical sense, wanting? Do they want more picks? Because if they got picks, the Nets, there's other teams out there that can offer more picks than the Heat and the Lakers, certainly. So depends what they're looking for. And again, if you're if you're the Nets and you're trading for the guy, you assume you're giving him a full max and you're going to have to pay McHale at some point. Those are your pillars. Okay. You got Nick Claxton still there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who the point. I don't know who the, I don't know who the point guard is. I don't know who the four is, but
I think
foundation.
Mitchell's effectively the point guard, You don't think so?
No.
I mean, they got to get a bigger
point guard. Mitchell's going to have the ball in his hands, but he's not a point guard. He's a two, for sure.
He's a two, but, down the stretch of games. I mean, if you're talking about, like, how the Nets – this is what's always tough with McHale, and this is – I didn't even think we were going to talk about this, but we're getting into some X's and O's talk. I like it. McHale playing the three, it's tough because, like, the Nets have played McHale at the three, and then they got to get a power forward. I guess it could be Noah Clowney, but like we've seen it with this 3-4 of, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. It's just too small. Like they get bullied on the boards. Like they have trouble, going to the basket against these bigger teams. Like there's just not enough beef in there. So if you're able to play Mikal at the two for long stretches, that, and you have Mitchell handling the ball, this like, there's always obviously going to be different machinations of the lineups depending on who else they bring in. But I think that that's an exciting aspect of it is you could put out a much bigger lineup around a guy like Mitchell. But, that all remains to be seen. But, like you said, getting back to the offers that the Nets and the potential bidding war, like the Nets, if Cleveland's prioritizing picks, the Nets are going to have the best offer. If Cleveland's prioritizing players, maybe like Miami might have the best offer with Hero and Hawkes and Jovic and guys that look really exciting. But, it remains to be seen. And if the Nets are going to come in, there's also a question of which picks are they going to be giving up? Because You know, they have a lot of picks from a lot of different places, and they have the 27 first from Phoenix, 28 they can swap with Phoenix, 29 from Phoenix, all unprotected. Those are really valuable. So how many
those are they giving picks. Up? Those are the most valuable picks. It's not even close.
Well, yeah, and then you got the Nets, you know, own picks down the line. But when interesting conversation because, you know, we just saw Phoenix Nets fans do their tap dancing over the graves of, you know, the Phoenix Suns fans after that first round sweep. What have you heard about the value of those picks? Because, you know, that's obviously been a conversation. I did my last podcast on Phoenix's implosion. Those got to be pointing up big time right now, right?
Yeah, I've been saying it throughout the pod with you. 100% there. The value of those picks is rising because a lot of people are looking at this team and saying, you know, Durant is getting older. Booker and Beal are not an ideal fit. And they don't have a lot of flexibility to improve the roster and get better beside the guys that they have. Obviously, they believe in them. And, you know, hiring coach Mike Budenholzer is – it should help them be a better regular season team. He was always great, you know, with that, with the Bucks and maximizing the talent that he had. You know, he should be able to have a field day scheming to get these guys open. But I – you have to certainly question the health of Bradley Beal. Durant was able to stay healthy last year, thankfully for him. But that's been a question mark. Previously, and I don't think it will go away. So any of those guys get hurt, I mean, you're in trouble. You are in trouble because with the way the cap is, you don't have a lot of flexibility. If you're going to build with a big three, you better hit on the big three. And
you got to hit.
I don't think that was the right fit. I think last thing I'll say on a big three in today's NBA, if you're doing a big three, you need a big, you need a wing, and you need a point guard. You cannot – like, I feel like just Beal and Booker are a mirror image of – obviously different levels, but they play effectively the same position. And not having a true point guard hurt. And that's why when you said to me about, you know, Donovan Mitchell, well, like, he's a point guard, it's like he has the ball in his hand, but he's not a point guard. You need somebody that can get the offense in, you know, in sets and be a coach on the floor.
Yeah. Now, you're always going to need, like, that organizer just to – be able to spell him and, you know, allow him not to have to bring up the ball and initiate the offense and spend all that extra energy. Just him playing, you know, as the point guard of the primary ball handler with Mikhail at the two would be a potential lineup that they could, you know, close with sometimes or throw out there. But yeah, so, you know, looking at the net situation with Mitchell, trying to tie a bow on this because Scotto's phone's blowing up, you know, during the NBA offseason. But you know, if the Nets go after Mitchell, they, you know, they have this path. They look like they're trying to go on where, you know, it would be going after Mitchell, having that cap space in 2025 to, you know, either bring in a few really high level players, if a star somehow hit the market, all that. And then they'd also have the draft picks that they have left over because they have seven tradable picks right now. They'd have those picks left over. And, you know, the further down the line you get, more picks become available. So that's kind of the formula, it seems like, for the Nets. You know, we debated it. If they strike out, I don't know where that leaves them because they're looking probably at mostly the same roster next season, and that could be pretty rough. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be really interesting. There's going to be a lot of teams involved. Like you said, the vultures are circling. Last thing I wanted to touch on with you, Scotto's had all the scoops on the Nets coaching staff, you know, leading up to this offseason. You announced two more hires. Just, you know, how do you feel about the way that this staff has come together with all the intel that you've had on that process?
I think it's been a mix of Jordy Fernandez's guys that he's wanted. He, you know, he plucks one guy from Sacramento, one guy from Denver, two of his previous stops. And, you know, with the Nets, they obviously retain a few guys that, you know, Sean Marks has felt good about. I think the losses of, I mean, all the guys that they lost, I think, you know, Kevin Ollie will be sought after. I think, you know, this is a guy that was a championship winning coach in the college level. And I think he will make a mark in the NBA as an assistant again for another team. And you've got, you know, Will Weaver, a guy who's had previous stops here. Ronnie Burrell, a former G League coach of the year. And Trevor Hendry, who's been here since the Kenny Atkinson era. And there's a reason he's been here. He's pretty good at what he does. You know, just in this instant, it was a chance for him to move on and move forward elsewhere. And, I think all these guys that they lost are good coaches. They are in their roles. So I do think they'll land elsewhere. But for the Nets, the biggest thing that stuck out to me, Eric, is that they are putting more of an emphasis on player development than they ever have since the Kenny Atkinson era. And they're going to need it. Because if like you said, you can go and trade for Donovan, but even if you do, you need your guys to develop, especially some of the young guys like Noah Clowney, whether Cam Thomas is here or not. And they've got a lot of other young guys too. Dariq Whitehead, who sometimes seems to get fallen by the wayside, but that was Dariq Whitehead is younger than some of the guys in this draft. So yep. He's a guy to look at. And other than that, I think, you know, like you said, if they don't happen to get Donovan Mitchell, you really need your own guys to develop and increase their value to give you more optionality.
Definitely, definitely. Scott, I always appreciate the time, especially with the phone blowing up and the offseason approaching. If you guys don't, follow Mike on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Follow all of his work on Hoops Hype. Always great stuff there. A national NBA insider with a Brooklyn Nets history and insight, you know, on the machinations of the team. So always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Anytime, brother. Anytime.
And that does it for this episode of Believe in Nets on the Believe Podcast Network, your one-stop shop for everything happening across the sports and entertainment world. Big thanks to all you guys for listening. As I said at the top, be sure to subscribe to Believe in Nets if you don't already on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel at Eric Slater NBA, where you'll find all these podcasts, interview clips, film breakdowns, and more. I'm Eric Slater, Brooklyn Nets beat reporter for ClutchPoints.com. You can find all my work on ClutchPoints.com. Also follow me on Twitter at EricSlater_ for constant news, updates, analysis on everything Nets. NBA season is nearing its close. We're approaching the offseason. That means draft. That means free agency. That means more trade rumors. I'll have more coverage for you guys on all of that here on Believe in Nets. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.